swing under the hammer to salvation. So if they get some spirit or some jolt...
That's worth bearing in mind. And he indicated that Crow should lead them on. Considering the differences they had seen between the other Vills and their sectors of the camp, the last three sectors were remarkable for their similarity. The huts, shacks, and tents were constructed in a similar manner, and the materials used betrayed a home Vill that was scraping around for trade and salvageable merchandise. The people seemed to be from the same stock, and the way in which they dressed and colored their environment with their clothes and the decorations in their camp sector was almost exactly the same, as was their attitude of sullen and mute hostility to the companions in Crow. The burble of conversation and activity died to silence as they passed, and they were watched closely, even though no one spoke directly to them. It was an uncomfortable ride, the focus of hostility seeming to be Crow and Mildred.
Well, that was fun.
Wasn't it? So, what do you reckon?
Maybe this isn't going to be as easy as Baron Silas hopes.
He won't want to hear that.
I don't give a shit what he wants to hear. The fact is that the camp covers a lot of ground, and so does the worksite. There's only a dozen sec and only seven of us, and a shitload of possible trouble. We may be able to stop attacks, but I figure it'd be better to get to the root of it. And we've got a lot of options to cover with no time to do it.
So?
So, Baron Silas has to decide whether he wants us to get to the bottom of this, or just blast everyone. I know which I'd rather do, and which is better for us.
Ryan dismounted.
And it's not acting like a triple stoop and blasting your workforce out of existence. So tell Baron Silas he may get results, but not necessarily the ones he wants.
Trouble came looking for the companions with a rapidity that surprised them all. After Crow bade them farewell and returned to Salvation, they rested for a short while, ate, and waited for Mile to return from his patrol out at the worksite.
Figure we'd better get some kind of routine established, and triple fast. The women and kids have seen us, and the workers saw us when we arrived. So now we need...
to let them know we're here, and here to stay.
Exactly. And the only way to do that is to keep visible.
Yeah, that's okay. But I really think we should concentrate on the well and refinery next. That's the root of the trouble.
Ryan gave his friend a sideways glance.
There's something you're not saying, JB? Because you sound like you've got a few ideas. Maybe you should share them.
Sure.
The armorer then outlined his theory that perhaps a force outside the camp was responsible, before explaining that he didn't want his notion to get back to Baron Silas via Crow.
So I figure that our best shot is to hit the well and refinery tonight, see what happens. Besides, it'll be good to wreck it in the dark and get used to it.
That was something with which they could all agree, and when Mile returned from patrol, Ryan was able to agree on a patrol roster. They would take the first watch at the worksite, and would travel to it via a roundabout route through the camp. Dean watched as the procession of horses made its way through the Hague section of the camp and cut across to go past the Mandrake section.
I still don't get why we have to go this way.
Because, my dear boy, it is a show of strength, a display, if you will, of our presence.
Doc was riding directly in front of Dean, with Mildred and JB at the rear behind the younger Cotter, and Jack and Christy in front of Doc, with Ryan in the lead. Dean took in the glares they were receiving from the men and women of Mandrake, accompanied by low muttering.
But they know we're here, especially in this place.
Yes, but they also have to know that we are, right now, on our way out to the worksite. Word will spread, and then we will see if they have the nerve to attack, or indeed, if it is anyone from here.
Guess you're right, but I can see us getting into a firefight here and leaving the worksite unprotected.
A first night risk. I suspect Ryan has weighed the odds.
But what about the odds on stumbling onto an Interville fight? The one-eyed man had expected them to be attacked, but what happened next hadn't occurred to him. As they left the Mandrake sector and were about to cross into the Salvation sector, all hell broke loose. At the crossroads that marked the clear delineation between the Vills, a bunch of men were standing on the Salvation side. They were drunk on home brew, and Jack's keen night vision could detect that their eyes, in the flickering lamplight of the camp, were dark with the effects of jolt. They watched the seven horses cross, and also the posse of Mandrake workers that had followed at a distance, a tactic that had failed to spook the companions or their mounts, but set up the Mandrake men for what followed.
Hey, assholes! I hear your women got beaten by the new sec women!
When there was no answer from the sullen Mandrake men, The man continued.
I guess the women could take you as well, right? You are a bunch of shit, right?
As one, the companions stopped their horses, Ryan wheeling his around to face his people. He didn't have to speak. One look at them told him that they could all sniff the danger in the air and the trouble that was about to break. Behind them, the Mandrake men were muttering among themselves. They weren't replying to the taunts of the Salvation drunk, but were obviously contemplating a response. And in the middle were the seven horses and their riders, waiting for the storm to break. It didn't take more than a second.
Yeah, bunch of shit.
The Salvation man turned to his friends. It was as he turned away that the knife skimmed past his ear, nicking the skin enough for blood to flow like a stream down his neck before embedding itself in the arm of a man behind him. Caught unawares, with the sharp blade embedded in the muscle and sinew of his biceps, the shock and pain made the man scream in a frantic, high-pitched tone. Ryan swung himself off his mount.
Fire blast! Get them!
With a chorus of yells and whoops, the Mandrake men charged across the space between themselves and the startled and temporarily wrong-footed Salvation men. In the middle were the companions, who were prepared to make this a fight without blasters unless necessary. Mildred, Christie, and Dean would have to fight unarmed, while Jack palmed a leaf-bladed knife in each hand. Doc's silver lion's head stick revealed the blade of finely honed Toledo steel that was hidden within. JB and Ryan, at each end of the line, were prepared with their blades, JB his Tecna and Ryan his trusty Panga. Each of the companions picked a direction in which to face the oncoming mob, knowing that the adjacent companion covered his or her back. Recovering from the shock that had temporarily frozen them, the Salvation men rushed forward to meet the Mandrake men. It wouldn't be a fight of skill and savagery, but rather a drunken brawl where those who get hurt usually end up being hurt by accident. A Salvation worker threw himself past Doc and landed on an oncoming Mandrake man, throwing him backward onto the dirt where they wrestled aimlessly, neither able to get a satisfactory grip. Doc earmarked them for attention in a moment. His more immediate problem was being sandwiched between two more men, both of whom had blades in hand. As one dove, Doc sidestepped and brought up the sword stick, the upward thrust catching the diving man's blade and diverting it skyward. Doc followed through in an arc that brought the sword down, slicing at the wrist of the opposing fighter, drawing blood and making him drop his knife. From there it was simple for Doc, who wasn't befuddled by spirit or jolt, to take the lama from his belt and use the heavy butt to render one of his opponents unconscious while kicking the other in the groin and making him collapse. From there, he turned elegantly to deliver another kick that separated the two wrestlers. The hand of one snaked toward his blaster, but a sudden slice from Doc's sword split open the flesh of his arm and discouraged him, and his opponent scuttled away in the dirt. Three Mandrake men, incensed by the earlier incident and forgetting their Salvation opponents, headed directly for Ryan, who took out one with a backhand slash of the Panga and attended to another with a kick from his heavy combat boots that caught the man in the chest, making him collapse. That left one man, and Ryan was left partially vulnerable. He was distracted enough by the two opponents to be unable to fully counter a full-on attack by the third man, who flung himself at the one-eyed man. There were no vulnerable areas that he could attack, but the force of his onslaught did drive Ryan onto the ground. Experience taught him to go with the fall, letting his body go limp so that the impact and any possible damage were lessened. His opponent hit him hard, but rolled off the Deathlance warrior with the force of his impact, enabling Ryan to turn swiftly so that he was on top of the man. One swing with the handle of the Panga caught the man under the jaw, snapping him instantly into unconsciousness. All around, the companions laid waste to their foes. Jack was a whirling blur of white hair and flashing knives, the cut slashing at the faces and hands of his opponents. Dean, Mildred, and Christy had more than held their own without blades, while the armorer had found it unnecessary to use his, as a few unarmed combat maneuvers defeated his opponents. Within minutes, the area was a scene of carnage, blood soaking into the earth. Only the companions still stood. An audience of women and other men had gathered on each side of the divide, but neither showed any willingness to come forward and either collect their wounded or carry on the fight. At a signal from Ryan, the companions mounted their steeds and made ready to head off to the worksite. But before they left, Ryan paused.
They're alive because Baron Silas needs them to work. But I warn you all now. Anyone else tries to attack us, or any of the sect patrols like this, then we'll chill the bastards.
A voice came from the Mandrake side.
We're attacking you. We're attacking the others.
Ryan turned in that direction, unable in the dim lamplight to single out who had spoken.
Doesn't matter. This shit stops the work being done, and that's what we're here to see. You do that, then that's attacking us. Understood?
And before anyone had a chance to answer, he spurred his horse and led the line out of the area of the fight, and through the rest of the camp toward the...